Lewis. We talk about celebration because we really believe in Jesus' resurrection. We believe that God's love is eternal and God will continually meet us wherever we are in the midst of the valley or a mountaintop, that God's love will surround us. And so it is with that assurance today that we join together responsibly in the call to worship. I am resurrection and I am life, says Jesus. Whoever has faith in me shall have life even though he dies. And anyone who has life and has committed himself to me in faith shall not die forever. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives and that at the last Christ will stand upon the earth. Together now, after my waking, Christ will raise me up, and in my body I shall see and my eyes behold Christ, who is my friend and not a stranger. We begin the service today hearing the words of Scripture from Psalm 23 and 1 Corinthians read by our grandchildren.
My shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Brittany, Whitney Lewis's granddaughter and grandson.
We're going to be reading 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not conceited, does not act improperly, is not selfish, is not provoked, and does not keep a record of wrongs.
Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for languages, they will cease, and as for knowledge, it will come to an end.
Thank you. Daddy's daughter. I'm actually doing something to Daddy now because he always used to say, you know, I can't see. So now I can't see, so I borrowed my cousin's glasses. Whitney Jocelyn Lewis was born November the 29th, 1934, to Florence Warren and Edward Lewis, and went to glory September 8th, 2015 at age 80. I'm so sorry because he was my buddy. And I will miss him. I cry because I miss him, but I know he's in a better place with my mother. So forgive me for that. From a very young age, Whitley learned to appreciate the benefits of hard work. To further his aspirations, Whitney migrated to the United Kingdom in 1955, joining the British Army and subsequently worked for the British Railway. On March 21st, 1957, Whitney married the love of his life, my mother, Dolores Cynthia Lewis, a registered nurse and midwife. In 1968, Dolores was recruited by Strong Memorial Hospital. And the couple relocated to the United States with their children, Yvonne and Beverly. Whitney worked for the Eastman Kodak Company for 26 years while having an interest in the taxi and rental property business throughout his career. The family initially resided in Brighton, moved to the 19th Ward, and settled in the town of Chilai in 1974. Whitney had a passion for the game of dynamos and won a trophy at a local dominoes tournament. He was an avid fan of wrestling, Wheel of Fortune, and Jeopardy, and often sat quietly in the evenings listening to old school reggae music. Whitney also enjoyed travel during his lifetime, including travel to Italy, Germany, and cruising the Virgin or various Caribbean islands. Whitney was active in the Rochester West Indian Festival Organization and the Rochester Jamaican Organization. On October 1st, 2010, Whitney lost Dolores, his loving wife of 54 years. Although he had significant health issues and longed for a warmer climate and made the decision to relocate to sunny Atlanta, Georgia in March of 2015, although he spent only a few months here, he was comfortable and receiving excellent care. Whitney is survived by his devoted children of his marriage, Yvonne Beverly and Taryn, 5 grandchildren, Brittany, Nathan, Jonathan, Brandon, Ariel, 4 great-grandchildren, Shanae, Isabel, Tristan, Brielle, and 1 sister, Etlin Smith of St. Elizabeth, Jamaica. He is also survived by sons, Devon, Denzel, and Andrew, and many other relatives and friends. While I'm up here and before my brother comes up, I think my brother is coming up next, I have to tell you that after my mother passed, my father and I, although close, became closer because I found such joy in being able to do for him when my mother wasn't here, was gone. He stopped driving, so I took it upon myself to drive him wherever he may want to go, come over and cook, and he enjoyed my cooking. He really enjoyed my cooking. And I started taking him somewhere because he and my mother used to go, and I did ask the Reverend if it was okay to say this. He and my mother went to the casino. And so when he stopped driving, I would take him, and I would sit, and I would just watch him play because I found joy and comfort in knowing that I'm able to do this and spend quality time with him, doing something that made him comfortable and relaxed him. And I used to just sit in the sidelines and just watch him and watch him and watch him until one day, one glorious day, I went like this. And I realize now why and how he enjoyed it, because I never knew that hitting a button was so much fun. I used to, as I said, you know, we went there. He used to say, your time will come. You have to win some to lose some. As soft-spoken as he is, he said a lot to me. And, you know, there are no words to say how we as a family feel right now because it's a loss, but I know that he's not in pain. He has his legs. He's dancing, eating mango, having ecchi and saltfish with mommy, and he's with God in heaven. So this is a rejoicing time because he is in heaven, but I will miss him dearly. I will miss you dearly. Terran. Oh, I'm sorry.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Denzel Lewis, son of Whitney Lewis. I'm here to just give a brief remarks of the life that he has lived. Dad affectionately called Uncle Whitney. I'm sure that most of you are here known him by Uncle Whitney. Whitney was born in St. Elizabeth, Jamaica. He then migrated to England and then to the United States of America in search of a better life for himself and his family. Dad, Uncle Whitney, was a very good father to his children and grandchildren and worked very hard to provide the needs of his family. Dad was very quiet, humble, and kind and loving. There is nothing in this world that you would want from Dad that he wouldn't have given to you. Kind, loved his wonderful wife, Dolores, who have passed on approximately 5 years ago, who went to be with the Lord. He also have a wonderful sister by the name, we call her Nene, but her name is Ethelyn Lewis, and I'm going to ask her if Joy, her daughter, could ask her to stand to be recognized this morning. Give her a big round of applause for that. Daddy loved her sister so much that even when he was in the hospital, he asked me to call her several times to talk on the phone with her. And she had prayed every day for Daddy. She's a prayer warrior. Daddy enjoyed helping people and have fun with his friends who meant so much to him. I'm sure that a lot of his friends are here today. And it's just because of the love that Daddy shared with them and the fun that they all have together while they're here to celebrate this momentous moment with him. One of his favorite pastimes was to play dominoes. Daddy enjoys playing dominoes, as Bev has mentioned earlier. I remember when he used to come to Jamaica on vacation, We sat actually through the night to play domino with him. He would say to himself, I'm the best in the business. Do you know what that means? That means he can play better than anybody else. He would always say, I'm the best in the business, as I said before. He also enjoyed dancing. I remember one day at Evra's wedding, he and his beautiful wife got on the dancing floor. Everybody has to stop and watch him dancing on the dancing floor. He likes dancing, enjoy dancing. Dad had a personal relationship with the Lord. A couple of days before he went home to be with the Lord, my wife and I and some friends went to visit him at the rehab. We prayed with him, and my wife encouraged him to call on Jesus, and reassured him that God was with him. Dad assured us that he has been communicating with the Lord. So I have all confidence that he has gone to be with the Lord. I am confident that my dad is resting with the Lord in a better place, where he is no longer suffering or in pain. Dad has fought the good fight. He has finished the race and kept the faith. May his soul rest in peace.
Hi, I'm Taryn Anthony Lewis. Wayne Lewis is, I guess, the youngest child. I don't really know what to say, and sometimes you don't know what to say in times of a heavy loss.
My brother and my father were very close, and it will be a loss to him, but we all know that tomorrow is not promised to any of us. We will see him again.
Thank you. I know your dad's proud of each of you as children who it's not easy to give testimony at the funeral of your dad. And thank you for the gift that you have each given him, a love that endures today, a witness you are as a family to Christ's love. We'd ask now the whole congregation stand to praise God in singing together in your hymnal in front of you and your in the bulletin, in your hymnal, number 840, It Is Well With My Soul.
Sea billows roll.
Amen. We certainly praise God in that. You may be seated, for it is well with our soul today. Please now, as we center again in God's presence, as we praise God in that ancient tradition, as David did, dancing before God.
Yeah.
Thank you for liturgical dance that reminds us that David danced before the altar, and what joy. Oh, yes, come on up now, and we have other people to give remarks, please.
Good morning. Thank you. It is indeed a pleasure to stand on this stage to give remarks. I had the privilege of doing a similar thing 5 years ago on a different stage. And Mr. Lewis came up to me in a uniquely Mr. Lewis way and said to me, "Why if you do one of that for me?" And if you are a Jamaican, you understand exactly what I mean by that. You will hear today a recurring theme, a theme of love. Now, in my own experience, love with Mr. Lewis meant a six love in dominoes. But in all seriousness, love meant a whole lot to Mr. Lewis. So I'll share several thoughts with you. Some words to describe Mr. Lewis, taken from letters associated with his name: wise, humble, insightful, thoughtful, a nice man indeed, engaging, young at heart. That's what Mr. Lewis was all about. And I say young at heart because just over a year ago, Mr. Lewis was at the Rochester Jamaican Organization Gala. And I made a pledge to myself that as long as Mr. Lewis is on the dance floor, I will not be leaving this party. Guess what? 2 days after, I was using Bengay. That wasn't even enough. I had to turn to Tiger Balm. If you have to turn to Tiger Balm, you know somebody put you to shame. That was Mr. Lewis. Now, as you can see from the pictures, Mr. Lewis was not big in stature, but he was indeed a giant of a man in many ways. He was a giant of a man in his commitment to serving our jail and perpetuating the Jamaican heritage here in Rochester. He was a giant of a man in the way he loved his late wife, Dolores. He was a giant of a man in the way he cared for his family. He was a giant of a man in the way he exercised his faith and spirituality. And he was a giant of a man in the way he cared for others, a sentiment shared by no other than Nelson Mandela, who stated, "A fundamental concern for others is our individual and community lives would go a long way in making the world the better place we so passionately dream of." Mr. Lewis, I was unable to make a promise to you 5 years ago when you said, "Do one of that for me." I would be way too presumptuous to predict that I would be here today. But it is indeed a pleasure and a privilege to be here today. So I wasn't able to make that promise 5 years ago. But I can make a promise today on behalf of the Rochester Jamaican Organization. We promise to continue your contagious smile. We promise to laugh and never take ourselves so seriously that we forget what it means to live. We promise to love with all our hearts because you demonstrated each and every day that love is the best alternative to hate. We promise to forgive quickly and with sincerity because you would have it no other way. We promise to be selfless, a virtue you always displayed. We promise to try and have as big a heart as you did. And again, according to Nelson Mandela, a good head and a good heart are always a formidable combination. And you indeed, Mr. Lewis, occupied a formidable place in our hearts. Thank you.
Well, good morning. My name is Larry Waller, according to the programs, but those who know me probably didn't know my name was Larry, it's Chick. And I had the pleasure of meeting Mr. Sir Whitney years and years ago. Matter of fact, I forgot how many years that I've come in contact and met him. But I want you to know that we all should praise God right now, because he suffers no more. He's not lonely no more. And he loves you. Whitney reminds me of the cross. You know, and in that cross there's patience. We have to be patient. When we would meet each other at church or see each other at church, Miss Lewis, she would be in the foyer, we called it, and she would be talking, and I would be talking to her, and I mean, we'd be in there for 20 minutes, and I would say, "Where's Whitney?" She said, "Oh, he went to get the car." Now she's in the church, talking to everybody. Whitney is outside, sitting in the car, waiting for Miss Lewis. That's a patient man. That's a patient man. Now, you think about his children and his family and the people that surrounds him. He was always patient. Always patient. Miss Lewis was his cross to bear. Not in a bad way. All I know is Miss Lewis. And if y'all know Miss Lewis, you know how she can be. And Whitney was patient and bared that cross. But he loved her for who she was. For who she was. Now I'm going to tell you, Whitney wasn't the only one that had to have patience with Miss Lewis. I did too. But Mr. Lewis, Sir Whitney, God bless him. God bless him. He had other crosses. He had a cross of wisdom. He was a man that gave wisdom to his children. He never told them the wrong thing to do. He always told them the right thing to do, even if it hurt them. Even if it hurt him. He bared that cross for his children. He was a man that spoke very loud. Very loud, even though you couldn't hear him. Most of the time, I would be sitting there talking to Mr. Lewis, and he wouldn't. But you can look in his eyes and his heart and hear what he was saying. Most of the time, when I heard him say something, it was, "Hi, Chick. Praise God." And that other words he was saying, he did with his body. With his actions, with his love. You know, some of us might be sitting here trying to figure out, why did he have to die? I'll tell you why. Because he's a man that acts like Jesus. He's a man that follows Jesus. Jesus died and rose again. Sir Lewis will die and rise again, just like all the rest of us. I can say that he was ready because he didn't want to stay here like that, like he was. I remember when I went to the hospital to see him and they were going to do this surgery. He wouldn't say a word. I prayed for him. He didn't say a word. When I got ready to leave, he said, "Thank you, Chip." He was probably ready at that time. But he bared that cross. He did what was asked of him. Because I know if it was left up to him, he would have said, "Leave it alone. Let it go." The other cross that he shares with us all, that's why we're here, is because he loved us all. You're not here because you loved him. You're here because he loved you. He put something in your life that you'll never forget, that you always try to imitate, that you always will share with others, and that's the love of Christ, the love of Whitney. So he crossed another ocean because he crossed all cultures of life. So when you cross all cultures of life and understand what you're crossing, you've been a traveling man for a long time. There was probably not one person that he ever met that he was introduced to didn't say, "That's a brilliant man. That's a man that I can be friends with. That's a man that I can love. That's a man that I can share." The only thing wrong was that he didn't talk much. But if you knew Whitney, Sir Whitney, you would know that he spoke a whole lot. He spoke a whole lot by saying nothing. You can look at his face expressions. You can look into his heart. And the words that you did hear, you know they were real. It was truth. It was nothing phony about who he was. Because he really didn't care who you was. Because he was going to tell you the truth about whatever it was that you were talking about. Because he didn't know how to lie. And anyway, when we get mature, we don't care if you like the truth or not. I'm beginning to learn that. But he left that legacy for each and every one of us to care about somebody else instead of just ourselves. He was a strong man. He carried his cross. When I say he was strong, I don't mean that he could lift up hundreds of pounds and because as you see the pictures, he's a small statured man. But the strength to love when people don't like, to give wisdom when people lie, to lift up somebody when other people are tearing them down, the strength to tell the truth, the strength to even die. Because I tell you right now that I'm not ready. I would say to God, "I got something else to do for you. Can I just stay a little bit while longer?" And when that little bit while longer come to an end, I'll tell him again, "I got something else to do for you. Can I stay a little while longer?" Whitney was strong. He said, "Here I am, Lord. Take me. I'm ready to come home." I could talk about Whitney all day. And I could say this. He left a legacy with you. He left a great legacy with you. Remember your dad. Always remember your mom. Because I loved them dearly. When I was down and out, they always showed me how to get up. And I know this for a fact. They both love God. Let the church say amen.
Good morning. My name is Fitzroy Crosdale. I stand here representing not only myself, my immediate family, but my parents and my aunts, the Henrys, the Chins, the Smiths, to say how much we are saddened by the loss of our good friend, Mr. Whitney Lewis. My relationship with the Lewis family spans over or close to 40 years. To put that in perspective, when I was a teenager or just about there is when I met Mr. Lewis. I would have been small enough to be looking up to him and call him Mr. Lewis. As I got older over the years, eye to eye, maybe a little bit down, but the idea is that as we approached each other at different events, he would always welcome me with a special greeting. And his greeting was this. He would come to me, shake my hand, and then he'd say, "Mr. Crosdale, when I grow up, I want to be just like you." Now, that's a strange thing from a kid who has to always say Mr., Mrs., Master, whatever, to an adult. I still can't call him Whitney. Oh, I just did. Okay. You know, I tried to mimic him a moment ago, but the idea is, as so many folks have said, he was really a very quiet man. You'd have to be pretty close to him to hear that kind of a greeting. But still, waters run deep. He was quiet, but we all know that there was a steadfast love for family and a devotion to family. As a kid, if I saw Mrs. Lewis, I saw Mr. Lewis. As I've heard Yvonne and Beverly talk about daddy, listen to the inflection in that daddy, and you hear the respect, you hear the love that's there for daddy. For those of you who are friends, family, who've worked for him over the years, you know that the quiet, the deepness also runs in terms of his loyalty, his strength, his tenacity, and his ability to take calculated risk as an entrepreneur. So as we gather here and reflect on his life, we're sad, we have tears. Turn. You evoked a lot of those in folks. I could see that. But let's admit, there's also joy, there's laughter, as we just heard a few minutes ago. And later we're going to have food. And that's because, although we are here to recognize what may be a loss, we also understand that there is something that is going to be left behind, as was said by Larry. So we're here to, as folks who are people he left behind, okay? And he instilled in us great relationships, a sense of love. He helped a lot of people, and he touched many lives. In the end, Mr. Lewis, you don't have to be like anyone else. We're here today because of who you were. What you were and what you did was enough for us to be here today to recognize your passing. So from those who loved you and from those who are here as support to the people who loved, who he left behind and who he loved, who called him son, who called him brother, who called him uncle, husband, dad, grandpa, friend, boss, we're here to say, rest in peace, Mr. Lewis. Thank you.
What a gift it is to hear these testimonies. Every time we hear the testimonies, we are reminded of the graciousness and love of God. You heard earlier the scripture that'll frame our time as we share together the scripture. Well, recently I saw a very large poster. It caught my eye, and the picture was a beautiful waterfall gleaming in the sun, and around it was this incredible lush vegetation all over the banks. And at the top of the waterfall, just as it dropped and as it cascaded down, was a bright orange kayak coming vertically down this waterfall. My instinct was to think, who on earth would ever do that? Anyway, who in their right mind? What an imaginable feat. But right at the bottom was this caption. It summed it up. Attitude. Our attitude makes a difference. One's attitude in the world makes a difference to God and to others, and we can change a person's whole day by our attitude. Now think around you. Think if you are grumpy on the day or you're angry, you're a complainer, it seeps into the world. If we harbor resentment or we don't forgive, we fracture the world's harmony. And on the flip side, if you're joyous, if you're thankful, you affect people all around you. It seeps into the world. We make a choice of what attitude that we will carry. We make a choice of those things that we are willing to do, to take an adventure, to risk. Well, the Apostle Paul knew firsthand that attitude makes a difference to God. And God's love can transform a person's life. And God's love can transform a family and make a difference in cities and in the rural areas. God's love transforms. You remember Paul. Paul was present at the stoning of Stephen. He really was a pain to all the early church people. He was miserable, he complained, he was angry with them, and then one day on the road to Damascus, just I've been in those roads, been to Israel, I've walked to the near the border of Syria, you can imagine that time he's walking, it was an ordinary day, and suddenly he was confronted with the very presence of Christ, and that encounter of the living Christ changed his life and his attitude. Love poured into his soul, into the world. In his letter to the new church, Paul identifies three major concepts in our relationship to God. Faith, hope, and the greatest of these is love. Well, I remember that Corinth was a city, it was cosmopolitan, it was on the harbor, it was teeming with people from all over the ancient world. They were diverse in race, ethnicity, religious background. And like any family or organization, there were squabbles in the early church. We like to think of the early church as all peaceful, everybody getting along, there's no conflict at all. But you read the letter to Paul, and Paul talks about, he sees into the heart, he sees the fracturing in the community, he sees the city of Corinth not in the image of God. And so we hear this beautiful passage. For at the table, there were squabbles of who was better and who was greater. What was the place of women? Whose heritage was greater? The Romans, the Gentiles, the Jewish Christians? Paul reminds us that God's love is a circle and to grow our hearts wide. Well, when we give our hearts to God, When we love God, anything is possible because we're changed from the inside out. We're literally changed. We are new people altogether. Well, you know, I love the story that Dolores threatened to place Bibles all around the house so that Whitney would fall over them and stumble. I love that story told by his daughters. It was her humorous way to tell her beloved husband he needed to get on the program. He needed to really come to a deeper relationship with Christ. Now, Paul knows that. We come to know God through other people who tell us the truth in our life, even when that truth is hard to hear. So Whitney wrestled with God to put God first in his heart, right along with his wife and his children. And love does change us because Whitney embraced Christ and joined Dolores at the Father's house and became active participants. What a great gift it is, you see, that love changes us. God loves us without strings, and that love beckons all of us to love others with that same passion. For our attitude makes a difference. Well, many people face life's challenges. They adopt an attitude of despair, or discouragement, or anger. But by Whitney, by all measures, and you've heard these powerful testimonies from those who lived with him, his children, to his sister, who you can feel in her heart, her love, to these friends, you hear time and time again the consistency of who he was, a quiet guy who endured many of life's changes without lifelong anger. It was about his attitude, you see, his attitude to carry love quietly and to live that out in his heart. It's a challenge to all of us, you see. That's what Paul does. He challenges us. Consider all the things, the changes in Mr. Lewis's life. He left behind his beloved country of Jamaica. How many of you left behind? Huh? That beloved country that you carry in your heart. It's a passion that's within you, those values. Consider the change when it was for him to go to England and then the United States to deal with all the cultural changes and expectations, the change in food, not able to hear the steel drums on every corner, not to feel that you got other people who know you just by the phrases you use, you see, who say, oh, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, you are of mine. I know you. We all need that in our world. And so he went through those changes, and Paul reminds us that God's love is with us every day and sustains us, giving us energy and wisdom when we ask for it. And that Jesus demonstrated that love. Mr. Lewis started work at Kodak. And I looked at, as you look at when he came to Kodak, it was not that long in Rochester's history. Remember, those of you who worked at Kodak and were in Rochester at that time, in 1964, Alinsky came here to integrate Kodak, to really get Kodak as an institution to look at its racism, to look at the place of women in the culture. And he came not long after that into that institution to put his life in his blood, and he worked his way. Now, he didn't speak to his family of any racial discrimination. He really didn't teach you how to deal with all of that because he held it inside. It was his love of God and love of just being the gentle person that he was. His attitude was one of hope and a vision that life could be lived to its fullest. It was that attitude that gave him the courage, like that little kayak, to go over the falls, to risk new adventures. So it wasn't enough to work at Kodak. He invested in property. He started a business with a taxi. He got involved in the Jamaican community. You see, a life well lived with an attitude that you're to be a part of a community. You're to value your heritage. You're to walk proudly with that. As children, you experienced your dad's attitude toward education. You are no slouches. You have really taken hold of what those values, to be educated yourself, even to share that to the next generations. He valued hard work. You've adopted those his values and his attitudes, and you're passing them on. What a gift in life you are as a family and a witness, that your parents loved you and really became that witness. Even when health really deteriorated for Mr. Lewis, it did not demean his stature. You've heard the dominoes over and over again. How many of you played dominoes with him? Okay. So was he really the best? Is that, you know? I just want to know here. If I ever play dominoes, I want to know who the real teacher was here. An attitude, you see. An attitude. What attitude do we carry in our life? What attitude do we pass on to other generations, to our spouses, to those in the community? His living legacy was, as you said, Beverly, don't worry about it. Huh? Don't worry about it. So in those moments when you're really in angst, to remember your dad's words to calm, be calm. Paul speaks eloquently of Christ's love. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. The greatest is love, you see, for love never ends. Well, I think of that image of that kayak and what it must have been like for all of you when in March he decided he wanted to go to Atlanta to live. Rochester's been his home. Yet to go to Atlanta was again that sense of adventure, that wherever he went, it was going to be home. See, I think it was the closest to Jamaica he was going to get. That's it. Because when he went there, he was in the midst of family. He was with longtime friends who ran a facility, who actually knew what ackee and saltfish were, who could really cook curried goat, who'd let him have the mango juice flowing down his mouth and not, you know, who could play the music of the steel drums and not have somebody to tell him to turn that music down. You see, coming home always to God, to others, we need to have that place where we are loved for who we are. And what a gift it is as we stand in this Christian tradition of ours, that we know that God's love never stops, that Christ's witness, that Christ will be with us. Christ was the first and the last. Christ will be with us in the very last of our days and our breath, because God's love endures. What will be your attitude as you go into the next levels and years of your life? Can you embrace that sense that you are loved in your whole being, as Whitney knew and as you bore witness earlier? The belief that Jesus' resurrection frees the soul to be in God's eternal presence. We give thanks today for a life well lived. It is well in our soul. Amen.
Quando sono solo sogno l'orizzonte, mancan le parole. Sì, lo so che non c'è luce in una stanza quando manca il sole. Sì, non ci sei tu con me su le finestre mostra tutto il mio cuore che hai acceso, chiudi dentro me la luce che hai incontrato per strada. Time to say goodbye. Vivrò con te, partirò su nuovi per mari. Io lo so, ora non esistono più. It's time to say goodbye. Quando se lontana sogno l'orizzonte, lo so che sei con me, tu mia luna segui tu con me, mio sole tu segui con me, con me.
Jocelyn Lewis was our father and our patriarch. He was a quiet and humble man, but not a simple man by any means. Daddy had deep convictions and a strong sense of right and wrong. He saw things as black and white, and he made no attempt to see or understand a gray area. He was our father, and he was a man who worked hard his entire life to raise and support his children, and he was a man who truly believed in taking care of his obligations. My father did not want a lot of fanfare. He never looked for a lot of attention, and he did not seek the limelight. Our mother, on the other hand, was drawn to the limelight. She had many accomplishments during her lifetime, and Daddy was content to stay in the background and allow my mother the space to shine and flourish and grow. He took great pride in her accomplishments and was quietly pleased with the accomplishments of his children, grandchildren, nephews, niece, and his extended family. My father was more than a grandfather to my children. He was a father to my children. While I was in law school and I commuted for the 3 years, he was picking up the children from daycare, taking them to dance, to Boy Scouts, attending every recital, band concerts, games, scout ceremonies. I nor my children would be as safe and secure as we are today if it wasn't for Daddy. I've many memories to give me solace at this time. One story I remember when my sister and I were very young. We had and have an extreme fear of insects, especially the ones that fly. And of course, when we saw one of those flying creatures, we would scream those three little words, kill it, Daddy. And he always did, because he was our hero. Another memory I have from childhood, and this is starting from in England, my parents used to, they loved to entertain and loved to dance and loved to have fun. And I remember really great house parties in England. My parents were well-loved and had an open, inviting household. And more than anything, my parents were very, very kind people. And Daddy was one of the kindest people I ever knew. As recent as March, before he went down to Atlanta, he was in a rehab facility, and, you know, he'd get his meal on his tray, and I would go to visit after work, and he always put his 2% milk aside so that when I got there, I would have that. He saved it for me. He did that all the time. Right, Bill? Daddy was an avid wrestling fan. He loved the game of dominoes, as you've heard, and he enjoyed an occasional spin at the casino. But the last 5 years without our mother have been difficult. He never recovered from losing her, and it marked the beginning of his most difficult journey in his life. In addition to losing his devoted partner of 54 years, Daddy also lost his independence. He lost his leg. He lost his best friend, who was like a brother to him, and at times he lost hope. Unfortunately, his serious illnesses and failing health dictated his medical treatment and required a high level of care, and that impacted the manner in which he lived his remaining years. Although the doctors would tell us your father's health is severely compromised, my siblings and I were determined to get him the best care available so he could be with us for as long as possible. And after my mother died, many people said to me directly and indirectly in Patois, Imnagalasyama. And people expected him to fade away quickly after mommy, but he was with us for 5 years. And he had that determination. Life's not perfect, and I did not have a perfect childhood, but what I did have was exceptional parents. Mom is gone, and now Daddy is gone. He was my mentor, my encourager, my disciplinarian, and most importantly, my dance partner. Daddy, you are my quiet tower of strength. You fought a good fight, and now you're pain-free, sorrow-free, resting in the arms of Jesus, and covered by God's amazing grace. Go rest high on that mountain, Daddy. Your work on earth is done.
Please join in prayer. O Holy Spirit, we come to you with a fullness in our heart for the gift of Whitney Lewis's life. We thank you for his presence among us, for all the ways that he touched this community, for the values he imparted to this family who will pass those on to the generations. We give you thanks, O God, for all your servants who, of having lived this life in faith, now live eternally with you. We thank you for Whitney Lewis's life, whose baptism is now complete in death. We praise you for the gift of his life, for all in him that was good and kind and faithful, for the grace you gave him that kindled in him the love for you and for his family and his friends that enabled him to serve you faithfully. We thank you that for him death is past and pain is ended, and that he enters now the joy that you prepared him through Christ our Lord. God, we want you to be and surround this family and their grief, to wipe their tears, to lift their hearts, to really let them know that your presence will never leave them, that Whitney's journey has ended, but his presence will go on in their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now please, we're going to have a slide presentation.
See over my soul. See. one of creation. And I shall sing songs of redemption, songs of praise and win. I claim in my position in creation as the son of the Almighty Jah, beholding his glory, manifesting through I and I forever. Oh Lord, oh God, my soul.
When I was a child, before life removed all the innocence, my father would lift me high and dance with my mother and me, and then spin me around till I fell asleep. Then up stairs he would carry me, and I knew for sure I was loved. If I could get another chance, another walk, another dance with him, I'd play a song that would never, ever end. How I'd love, love, to dance with my father again. Ooh. When I and my mother would disagree, to get my way I would run from her to him. He'd make just to comfort me, yeah, yeah. Then finally make me do just what my mama said. Later that night when I was asleep, he left a dollar under my sheet. Never dreamed that he would be gone from me. Final glance, one final step, one final dance with him. I'd play a song that would never, ever end. Cause I'd love, love, love to dance with my father again. Sometimes I'd listen outside the door, and I'd hear how my mother cried for him. I'd pray for her even more than me. I'd pray for her even more than me. Dance with my father again. Every night I fall asleep, and this is all I ever dream. Away.
So we bear testimony to a life well lived in Whitney Lewis. You only are a mortal, God, creator and maker of all. We are mortal, formed of the earth, and to earth we shall return. Holy God, by your creative power, you gave us life. In your redeeming love, you have given us new life in Christ. We commend now Whitney Lewis to your eternal care. You have given us a gift, O Lord, in life. We commend him to your care in the faith of Christ our Lord, who died and rose again to save us, who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. And we say, hear God, as we hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant, well done. Now may the blessing of God, our creator, redeemer, and sustainer, be with us this day as we adopt an attitude of love, as we go into the world to share God and Christ's eternal love with those that we meet on the highways and the byways. Amen. Ask the pallbearers to come forward.
Thank you. Thank you.